Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Sunday, November 27th, it might not be for now. And if it's not for now, sometimes we just let that word go. Well, that applies to somebody else because that really doesn't work in my situation. But if you live long enough, it's not a matter of if, but when. The word that is preached today or Wednesday or the word that you study tomorrow morning, it might not be for November 2022. It might be for November 2023. But if you write that down, you will have access to it. I say all this because I was going through some old binders and notebooks and calendars, and I ran across a couple journals from 2005, 2006, 2007, when Bishop was doing most of the preaching. And I felt so encouraged by what I was writing down. But I also, this is one of the things that I love about notes, I can see the growth that has happened in me since 2005 and 6 all the way to 2022. You say, what do you mean? I could tell by the notes I was writing and what I was saying and how I was writing it, who I was and what I was going through in those moments. And then I look at where I am now and I say, God, thank you so much for your word, because I'm no longer that person. I'm a lot better than I used to be. It's called maturity. So turn to your neighbor and tell him, we need you to take some notes. Praise God, your family depends on it, your future depends on it, your community depends on it. The last couple sessions, as we've talked about hide or seek, that it is one or the other when it comes to life on this earth. We are either hiding from God or hiding things from God, or we are seeking Christ, we are seeking God. Of course, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so I preached a sermon a long time ago called First, and there's three ways that we seek. We seek up, we seek first, and we seek often. What you seek, the direction you seek, when you seek, and what you seek, all of those play a huge factor in your life. It is not God's job to uncover all that we are hiding. Jesus' role in our lives is to forgive what we uncover. As long as it's hidden at your house, in your back pocket, as long as it is in one of the four corners of your brain or your spirit, and you think that that thing is so hidden that nobody knows about it, I'm here to tell you, you might have the wool pulling over everyone's eyes, but God sees it. And God is waiting for us to take it to him. And once we uncover that sin, that mistake, that failure, that issue that we are dealing with, it is Jesus' role. It's why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And you cannot save without forgiveness. And so Jesus came to forgive what we uncover. The fact, church, that we can live a life and that we can repent and live a free life without any condemnation is amazing and one of God's greatest gifts. Can I encourage believers in the house today, never apologize for what God has done in your life. Never apologize for the favor and the blessing. Never apologize for who you have become. Never apologize that you outgrew that group of people. Never apologize that grace and mercy has been afforded to you. All you have to do is just say, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. God is everywhere. It's called omnipresent. God is all powerful. It's called omnipotent. God knows all. It's called omniscience. And since he is omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, and he knows all, has all power, and he is everywhere, we must seek that God and be excited that we and celebrate those qualities in our God rather than use those qualities as a reason to try to hide from him. You cannot hide from a God that is everywhere. But listen, that's a negative aspect, but here's a positive. You can never go anywhere in this life that God is not available to you. And so you might be trying to hide it behind closed doors, but God is there. But guess what? While you're trying to fight it behind closed doors, God is there to help you fight. God has all power. There is nothing in this world that is more powerful than our God, meaning this, whatever giant you're facing, whatever storm you're going through, there is a God that is bigger, stronger, and able to deliver all of us. And God knows all. There's no such thing as secret sin. There's no such thing as something that God does not know. He knows all. So we must seek and celebrate that God and not hide from him. I want to dive into something that God has given me called the hiding cycle. And there's four stops in this cycle. And a lot of us will find ourselves in one or two at the same time. However, the first one we talked about last week, which is hiding from God or hiding things from God. We went to Genesis chapter 3. We talked about Adam and Eve in the garden. They had talked and walked with God every day of their life, every day in the cool of the day. At the end of the day, God would show up in the Garden of Eden and he would walk and he would have communion and he would have time well spent with his creation. Isn't it awesome that the God of the universe wants to have a relationship with you and a relationship with me? Isn't it awesome with everything that's going on in the Ukraine and everything that's going on with the economy that the God of the universe still wants to sit down at your kitchen table tomorrow morning while you're drinking a cup of coffee and talk about your day? Isn't it awesome that no matter what's going on in the world, when all hell breaks loose in your life, God is still there to listen and to talk with us? So we know that God had these moments where he talked with Adam and Eve, but the moment that sin is introduced in the garden, the Bible says that Adam and Eve, they hid from God. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, but I want to read verse 13 first because the context around 13 is what we know, but we skip over verse 13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing, no thing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. That's exciting or terrifying depending on what you view God as. God is my Savior, he's my deliverer. God is the one that takes away my sin. He is the one that covers me with his righteousness. He's the one that covers me with his blood. And so the fact that God sees all doesn't terrify me. It excites me. But for those that hide things from God, a God, when we say this verse 13, that nothing is hidden and that God knows your browsing history on your computer, that God knows who you were texting late last night, that God knows how you were evading taxes the last 10 years, that God knows you're a cheater and a liar and a luster, that God knows all of the fact that nothing is hidden, that terrifies most people that have unrepented sin. But again, don't be scared of him. Run to him and say, God, these are my issues. Please forgive me. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him, that him is Christ, to whom we must give account, Jesus, the great high priest. I don't want to scare you. I want to encourage you. There's nothing in your life that God does not know about. So if God already knows about it, why don't you get that off of your mind and off of your back and say, God, you already know this is where I struggle. You already know this sin in my life. You already know what I did last year. You already know where I'm weak. You already know my liabilities. So God, if you already know them, instead of trying to hide them from you who sees everything, I'm going to lay them on the altar. I'm going to talk to you about them every day. And Lord, I believe that not only are you going to forgive me what I have done, but your power is going to live in me and it's going to keep me from doing the same things that made me feel this way in the first place. Somebody say, God sees all. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid before the eyes of him to whom must give account Jesus, the great high priest. Now let's go back to verse 12 because this is a verse that all of us have heard in church. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive. And it is always searching for a place to fulfill God's promise. Just think about that. Tomorrow morning when you wake up and this service is in the rearview mirror and the worship team is in the rearview mirror and you head off to school or you head off to work, understand this, the word of God on a Monday is just as powerful as it was on a Sunday. And it is looking for somewhere to work and to bring God's promise to pass. Then we go to verse 13, but let's go to verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess, for we do not have For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one that has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus was tempted with every sin that you and I have ever been tempted with or fallen into. The only difference between Jesus and us is we fell into it, we jumped into it, we loved doing it, but Jesus said, no, I've got to say no because I have to be a perfect sacrifice so that when I go to the cross, my blood is pure so that I can give them away in 2022 to stand and say, God, I'm weak, but in my weakness, you are made strong. And God, I don't have to overcome this by myself because you already overcame it by saying no. So his no can become our no. Praise God. Verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. I was pricked in my heart for some people that I know that don't come to church, don't talk to God, and don't have a relationship with God because they're scared of God. They're scared of what they feel he feels about their decision in life. I've heard people say, not even jokingly, but, oh, Pastor, I can't come to your church. If I come there, the roof will fall in. Thinking that the judgment of God, that he would literally kill them for coming in to his presence. But that was before Jesus Christ. But since Jesus has come in, the veil was ripped from top to bottom, and it gave us access to God. That is a reason to shout today. That is a reason to be encouraged today. And the reason that he did that is so that you and I don't have to come scared, but we can boldly come to the throne of grace with confidence. Not hiding behind something, not hoping that lightning doesn't strike us in his presence, but we can boldly, y'all remember the Jeffersons? I know that's kind of dating me and a lot of those of you that just said amen. George Jefferson had that walk. Conor McGregor has the other walk, his is. It's confidence. Some of us come sneaking into the presence of God. Sneaking into the presence of God shows a lack of faith, not a lack of confidence. Confidence doesn't give me faith. Faith gives me confidence. Faith in not who I am, faith in who he is. Not faith in I've done a good job covering my tracks. Faith in that I serve a God, you serve a God that is really great at covering our tracks, because they weren't swept under a rug. They were covered with his blood. And so when I come before Jesus, I'm not thinking, man, if he finds out what I did last month. He already knows what I did last month. He was there when I was doing it, but he was also there when I said, Lord, please forgive me for the sin in my life, the mistakes I've made, times that I've gotten out of line. God, help me to get back in line. I'm sorry, forgive me of all of my mistakes, all of my failures. That is faith in God, and that's what gives me a confidence to walk in before God. Don't be scared of the hand that can help you. We so often run to the hand that hurt us. I will never understand, and I know that it's bigger than just a conversation. I will never understand how a woman can go back to a man that hit her. It was getting quiet. That's a little too close to home for some people. If he bounces you off the wall, get out tonight. If he puts his hand on your kids, get out tonight. There is no praying about it. Use wisdom. And if you can't find someplace to go, I will get you a hotel room for the week so you can make a plan of action. But you can't. But some of us, we keep going. And some of us, we're clapping. Amen. That's right, Pastor. But some of us keep going right back to the hand that took from us, the hand that stole from us, the hand that brought that thing in our life. And I'm here to tell you, don't run from Jesus. He is the answer. He's the solution. If you're depressed, don't stay out of his presence. Park yourself in his presence. If you're lost, don't keep looking for something. Be right there in the presence of the Lord. To boldly, the Bible says, boldly, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, boldly, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, in our time of hiding, in our time of lack, in our time where things don't make sense, in our time where we're behind the eight ball, in our time where we're making silly decisions, in our time when we're feeling ourselves and we're feeling our flesh. He said, I will have grace and I will have mercy for those that boldly come to me. God forbid my kids ever have an issue like I see a lot of 16 and 18 year olds have. But if they do have that issue, I'd rather them not hide that from me as their father. I would rather them bring me that issue so that we can come up with a plan to overcome that issue. And I want to encourage you, if you have a problem, this is your church. If you're struggling, this is your church. If you've got an addiction, this is your church. If you've got things going on, this is your church. If your life is perfect, this is your church. We don't want perfect people. We want people who are pursuing the presence of God, who are saying, God, this is all I've done. Now help me. So that's what we've been dealing with, is hiding from God or hiding things from God. Let's talk about number two in the hidden cycle. And this is something to celebrate, hidden for God. Not hiding from God, but hidden for God. Psalm 27, verse 5 in the ESV reads like this: For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. This is David writing, talking about God concealing and hiding him in his time of need. Now, we know that David is alluding when he says his tent. One translation says his tabernacle. One says his rock. Here later says to be covered by his tent. We know that he is talking about the presence of God, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But what I love about David is David said, in the times of trouble is when I would start hiding. But I'm not hiding from God. Now God is hiding me for him. I'm not choosing the hiding place. God is choosing my hiding place. And that hiding place is not in a substance. That hiding place is not in a person or another relationship. That hiding place is in the presence of Almighty God. And when I think of being hidden for God, there's three words that come into my spirit. One is sanctification, one is consecration, and one is set apart. When I think of being hidden for God, God is not hiding you because he can't trust you. God is hiding you because he has great purpose for you. Many times when God hides us, it is for a greater purpose. When God hides you, it means one of two things, and I've said this before. Number one, you are not ready for it. Or number two, it is not ready for you. And I want to make sure that I'm ready and you're ready for wherever God takes us and whatever he's called us to do. But I also want to make sure that the place he's called me to is ready for me. The thing he's called you to is ready for you. And so sometimes God hides us for a great purpose. Say, let's take that in the Word of God. Let's do that very quickly. Moses was hidden by his mother in plain sight. When she put him in a basket and put him on the river, and Pharaoh's daughter unknowingly rescued, kept alive, and raised the deliverer of Israel. God hid Moses for a season, but Moses sure came out of the shadows swinging for God when he delivered millions of people that were in bondage and slavery, and he led them to the cusp of the promised land. I am here to tell you, you are not hiding from the world. You are hidden for a purpose. You are hidden for greatness, and you might have spent the last season, last year, last quarter of your life being hidden, but God's getting ready to do something, Moses. You don't know how he's been orchestrating all of this, but you're going to bring deliverance to your family. You're going to make an impact on your generation. San Antonio is going to be shaken once you come out of hiding. David was hidden on the backside of the mountain until he was ready to defeat Goliath and become king. David was training. He wasn't just playing his harp. He wasn't just singing psalms and writing psalms. But on the backside of nowhere while he was watching sheep, he was killing lions. He was killing bears. He was getting his sling ready. He was doing all of those things. Why? Because once God brings me out of hiding, he hid me for something great. And when I come out of hiding, I'm going to be ready. That's why I think a lot of churches miss the boat during COVID, because they went into hiding and they didn't realize that God used COVID as a time to hide most of us, so that when all of the mandates were lifted, Living Way was still here while other churches shut down. Living Way was raring to go. Living Way was building strategies and kingdom principles when God revealed us from hiding. We've talked about two men. Let's talk about a mighty woman of God, Esther was hidden for a year in the king's palace until she was ready to stand in the gap for Israel and all of the Jewish people. For a year, she stayed in a room and prepared herself for a 15-minute conversation with the king. Could it be that the last year God has been preparing you for a 15-minute conversation or a 30-minute meeting that he's going to have you take in January that is not going to change your life, but it is going to change your world? Jonah was hidden in a well for 3 days. Until he was ready to preach. Sometimes, like Esther, you're hidden away where you're being anointed with fragrances and covered with perfume and you're getting yourself ready. But sometimes hiding is not luxurious in the king's palace. Sometimes because we keep running from God, God says, all right, I'm gonna hide you in this stinky place, in this belly of a whale. But when you come out of that well, guess what? You're gonna be ready to preach. The thing that you ran from, you will now run towards. God hid 7,000 believers who had not yet bowed to Baal. And when Elijah was suicidal, God said, you're not the only one. I've hidden 7,000 more just like you who are not idol worshipers. Can I tell you, when you look around this room, there are a lot of empty seats that are going to be filled in Jesus' name. But I don't want you to think the church is on the downcline, Big C Church. I don't want you to think that there's less believers now than there's ever been. Because I'm here to tell you, the nation we live in might be shaken, but there are revivals all around this world where most of the population is saved, followers and disciples of Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Ghost. I am here to tell you, we are not alone. There are believers just like us all around the world, and God has hidden us for this time. Obadiah hid 100 prophets in caves when Jezebel was killing everyone that said that they served Jehovah God. I am here to tell you, I'm not hiding from God. I am hidden for God for a great purpose, and so are you. You say, nobody knows who I am. Nobody knows I even exist. You are in good company, because that's how Moses felt, David felt, Esther felt. But when time was come for them to come out of hiding, they weren't hiding from, they were hiding for. And when they came out, they did big things for Jesus. So we've talked about hiding from God, hiding for God. Now let's talk about hiding in God. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2 is of oft-quoted scripture, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. But verse 3 has such power, for you died. I love that. I love that the old Brandon doesn't exist. He's dead. He don't live here no more. Don't be looking for him. Don't try to dig him up. He is gone, 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 gone. I am a new creation. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That old way of doing life is over. That's why you need Jesus, so that you can die to self. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. We are hidden with Christ in God. When you said yes to Jesus, you died to self. The old person died. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Whew. When Christ appears, there's going to be a ragtag group of us, but we're going to be in our perfected bodies. Because the next time Christ appears, it's for the resurrection of the church. It's what we call the rapture of the church. And when you say yes to Jesus, not only does he give you an abundant life, but most importantly, he gives you an eternal life. And when Jesus steps into heaven next time, most of Living Way is coming with him. And I died to self so that I could live for him. Psalm 91:4, he will cover you with his feathers. And under his wings, you will find refuge. I don't know who needs to hear this today, but your refuge is found in Christ. Some of you have been running all year long and you're tired. Some of you have been bouncing from relationship to relationship looking for something and you're tired. Some of us have been putting substances up our nose, down our throat, and in our veins looking for something that can quench the pain, and we're looking for refuge. You will always fall short if you're looking for refuge any other place than Jesus Christ. But David wrote in the 91st Psalm, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Your shield is for when you're moving forward. Your rampart is when you're resting. Ramparts are fortified walls in a castle or a kingdom. And this is what I love. He said, in times when you need refuge, he said, your faith might be weak, but he said, we're not depending on your faith. Read it again in verse 4. It says, his faithfulness will be your shield. We love to talk in Ephesians 6 about the shield of faith. Take up the shield of faith. You know what I love? It's not my shield. It's his. His shield of faith. His shield's better than your shield, amen? Matthew 23, verse 37. Ooh, this is a Jesus that some of us didn't know existed. Because remember, most Jesus now in the entertainment industry, he is a limp-wristed, white, blue-eyed, English-speaking, with a British accent Jesus. That's not what Jesus looked like. That's not how Jesus lived. Jesus was a man. What would Jesus do? And now that has been answered 25 years later, he would love first. I'm going to come up with a shirt that says, what would Jesus do? He would flip tables. Some of us want this Jesus that coddles us. Sometimes you need the table flipping Jesus to call you out on your stuff, to call you out, to call me out on my nonsense. This is what Jesus was saying. Jesus wasn't saying this to just a crowd. Jesus wasn't saying this to just his disciples. Jesus is having this conversation that I'm about to share with you with leadership in the church, Pharisees and teachers of the law. The crowd was there, the disciples were there, but he's speaking to the Pharisees. Verse 37, chapter 23 of Matthew. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you will kill the prophets and stone those that are sent to you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Speaking of what David wrote in the Psalms, that you can come for refuge. You can come for safety and rest underneath the wings. He said, I've done my best. I've longed to gather you. And you were not willing. Here's the hard truth, church. If it's not happening in your life, chances are you're not willing. You say it here, you stand here, but you're not willing there. Jesus said, I long. What does that mean? I desire that you would come to me. Instead of hiding from me, I would rather you come so I can hide you. Instead of running from me, I would much rather you run to me. Well, God, I have problems. Bring your problems. I would rather have problems in the presence of God than problem-free without God. And there is no such thing. If you're problem-free without God, enjoy those 3 seconds because they're coming. Jesus is talking in this entire chapter 23. Read it. It's talking about being hypocritical and believing one thing and saying one thing and acting a different way. And Jesus was saying then, and I believe he's saying on November 27, 2022 to everyone in the room and online today, I have longed for you to come back to me. I have longed for you to bring your problems to me. I have longed for you to bring your sin and all your mistakes to me. And let me put you under my wings, but you are not willing to do that. And what Jesus says is actually more blunt than what I'm saying, because Jesus is actually saying, for most of you, you'll never get there. But he said, I've longed for your children. I've longed for your children. Can I just put some responsibility on the parents today? Kick your drug habit, if not for you, for your children. Quit your lust habit and bouncing around from relationship. Even if it's not for you, what about your children and your children's children? Why? Because Jesus is saying, I'm longing to bring your children back to me, but because of the way you're living, because the way you're hiding, because you refuse to seek me, they're only doing what they're seeing their parents do, and I've longed for them, but they will not come. I can be guilty of a lot of things in my life, but one thing I will not be guilty of is when I stand before God, I'm not going to stand there and God say, you never had your kids in church. They never saw you pray. They never heard you read the Word of God. They never heard you talk about faith. Oh, you talked about fantasy football, and you talked about the Cowboys and the Spurs, and you talked about making money. You talked about all these things, and your kids, that will never be said. I've got shortcomings in other places, but that is not one of my shortcomings. Why? Because I want my kids to know, even when dad doesn't have the answer, there's a God who will put his wings over you. And while you're resting and while you're catching your breath, God will take care of you. Praise team, if you'll come, I got one more for you. Hiding from God, hiding for God, hiding in God. So many people spend all of their time hiding from God instead of hiding in God. Hiding in God brings you rest. Some of us are just tired. You're tired of being tired. You're tired of politics. You're tired of all of the social things going on. Tired of the racial inequality and the division that we face. I'm so sick and tired of the name Trump and Biden. I'm so sick and tired of things like Balenciaga. I'm so tired of Adidas. I'm so tired. I'm with you. I am tired of it all. And 8 hours of sleep is not going to do anything for you. We have to be able to rest in Christ. Rest in Him. And here's the thing, church. Rest doesn't mean immobile. Rest doesn't mean unproductive. Rest means I'm leaning into Jesus and I'm going to get all the energy. I'm going to get all the strategies. I'm going to get all this nonsense out of my mind, all out of my spirit, off of my back. I'm going to let Him carry what needs to be carried, and I'm chunking everything else to the left or right, and I'm not going to let it affect me. Some of us need that rest, and you find that rest, Psalm 91, with His feathers. He'll cover you under His wings. You will find refuge, and His faith will be your shield and your rampart. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. When we say Jesus, it's not just some figure that we're extolling virtue and praise and worship on. It is literally a person and a presence. And when we say His name, Jesus, ooh, there's a presence now that we can come into. The righteous run into it and are saved. Jesus is not a name I hide behind. It is a name I hide in. People have accused me, oh, you're just hiding behind your Christianity. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm hiding in Jesus. I don't have a religion. I have a relationship. I talk to Jesus every day.